Good day, everyone. Welcome to today's Tivoli Talk Essay Configuration and Pricing Conference Call. Today's conference is being recorded. At this time, I'd like to turn the conference over to Mr. Creighton Hicks. Please go ahead, sir.
Yes, thank you very much. Once again, my name is Creighton Hicks. I'm the product manager for the two products we'll go over in detail today. That's System Automation Multi-Platform and System Automation Application Manager. Let's go ahead and start on slide two and talk about the agenda we'll be covering today. For this call, we're going to go over, like I said, both System Automation Multi-Platform and System Automation Application Manager. For each one, I'm going to do a brief overview of the product and then go into the pricing of each of those. And on slide three, you see a link there. That URL links to a pricing guide document that I have written. It is currently out there on the GSA site. It will be on Extreme Leverage by the end of today. So if you'd like to go ahead and take a look at that document immediately, there's a link that will take you to it right now. And on slide four, just a brief overview of the system automation family. So here we have, showing the progression or the roadmap of the system automation family, starting in the lower left with System Automation ZOS. And from System Automation ZOS, we made System Automation Multi-Platform by porting it to Linux and then onto AIX and Solaris and Windows after that. Previously, we had this part called the SAMP base component because we introduced some time ago, about 2 years ago, the System Automation Multi-Platform end-to-end component. Now, for those of you that may not know, starting with version 3.1 of SA Multi-Platform, which released last June, we made the end-to-end component its own product, which is what we now call the System Automation Application Manager. And quite simply, what was known as the base component of SAMP is just simply SAMP. And then the fourth step up there at the top of the arrow is the Business Continuity Process Manager, which is based on IBM Service Management. We'll not be covering that in this call. Next slide, on slide five, here we show an overview of the two products, the System Automation Distributed Portfolio, as I call it. And again, you see System Automation Application Manager and System Automation Multi-Platform. System Automation Multi-Platform, again, used to be called the base component of SAMP. It is a high-availability clustering solution with advanced automation capabilities. It is comparable to HACMP, Veritas Cluster Server, SteelEye Lifekeeper, Microsoft Cluster Server, etc. And then the other thing we have, the other product we have in this portfolio, is the System Automation Application Manager, which again was formerly called the end-to-end component of SAMP. SAAM is truly unique in the market. We don't believe there's anything else out there like it, and what it allows you to do is have a single web-based console for management and control of all of your heterogeneous clusters in your enterprise. So the SAAM consists of a server that connects down to software adapters in different cluster technologies. It's not just IBM or Tivoli cluster technologies. We connect not only to SAMP or SAZOS, but also HACMP, Veritas Cluster Server, Microsoft Cluster Server, and so on. And now we can go ahead and jump to slide seven and drill down into the System Automation for Multi-Platform product. Again, System Automation for Multi-Platform, it is a high-availability clustering solution, which means its main business issue is the elimination of unplanned outages. Now, you can click through the animation on the slide, and you can see that in 2001, IDC reported three major causes of outages. They reported 20% for technology failure, 40% for application failure, and another 40% for operator errors. System Automation for Multi-Platform is positioned to help mitigate each of those three causes of outages and truly give you high availability in each sense. And then moving over to slide eight. Slide eight shows the platform coverage for the System Automation Multi-Platform product. And when we talk about platform coverage of SAMP, it's really where can SAMP be installed? Because SAMP really only consists of one major installable, and that's installed on each node in the cluster. So where can that be installed? Where can SAMP run? Well, it can run on Linux and pretty much all the different varieties of Linux out there, all the different platforms that Linux can run on. It can run on X-Series or Intel AMD equivalent, Linux on P-Series, Linux on I-Series, and then importantly Linux on Z-Series. In addition, System Automation Multiplatform can run on Windows Server, AIX, and then recently with the last release we can now run on Solaris, the Solaris operating system on Spark or Sun hardware. And then moving to slide 9. Slide 9 shows kind of an architectural view of system automation for multi-platform. Technically, it consists of two components, RSCT, which is a shared component and within IBM, and then there's the automation manager that we've put on top of that, which we've taken from SAZOS, and this allows us to create a policy-driven relationship approach, which is the circles and arrows picture that you see in the top right. This gives us a unique approach that allows us to eliminate all of the scripting logic you would otherwise have to do with other clustering solutions. And the end result of it is that you can not only create a policy faster, but you can maintain it easier because there's less lines of code that you've had to write. And then building on top of that on slide 10, this shows you just a partial list of some of the plug-and-play policy modules that we have available. Again, this is leveraging that relationship-based approach that you saw in the last slide. One of the reason there's so many policies here is because it is so easy to create policies with system automation for multi-platform. All of these policies that you see here are available on the Tivoli Opal website. There's a link in the bottom right of the slide. All of these policies are freely downloadable. So that means that, you know, before a customer even actually buys System Automation Multiplatform, they could download this policy package and take a look at it. It's not going to do them much good without the product, but, it's there. And unlike several of our competitors, we do not charge for these policies. And then on slide 11, we see the a new optional component that's been introduced into System Automation for Multiplatform, and that is an optional feature for XDR for Linux on System Z. And this allows the coordination of System Automation Multiplatform running on Linux on System Z with GDPS. GDPS is a geographically dispersed parallel sysplex, which is a truly enterprise-grade disaster recovery solution for System Z. So the main takeaway of this is that we have an optional feature called XDR for Linux on System Z, and hint the name, it's only applicable for Linux on System Z. And moreover, since it is coordinating with GDPS, the customer must also have GDPS for this feature to make any sense. And then slide 12 shows us a summary of the overview of SAMP. Again, it's a high availability clustering solution. It deals with the reduction in unplanned outages. It has a flexible policy-based automation. And there's several out-of-the-box high availability solutions, we call them plug-and-play automation policy modules, that are available. And again, those policies are free. And so now on slide 14, let's start to turn our attention to how to price system automation for multi-platform. So on slide 14, here's the major bullet points for the overview. System Automation Multiplatform is available via PPA, or Distributed Software, DSW. It has two sets of part numbers. There is one set of part numbers that compensates regular Tivoli sales, and another set of part numbers that compensates ZSSR sales. You'll see as we go through this presentation, everything in my portfolio, that's SA Multiplatform, SA Application Manager, and the Business Continuity Process Manager, all of those have these two sets of part numbers, one compensating Z software sales reps and the other compensating regular Tivoli sales. And then the last bullet point here on slide 14 is that system automation for multi-platform is licensed and priced per processor value unit. Slide 15 shows a chart breaking out some of the major part numbers for system automation for multi-platforms. There at the top, you'll see the PID 5724M00, and you see the two components that we talked about in system automation for multi-platform. There is the standard component, which is the high availability clustering part that is required to have if a customer wants to have system automation for multi-platform. And then you see also there is the XDR for Linux on System Z component. That is an optional feature. If a customer wants the XDR for Linux on System Z, they must have, of course, Linux on System Z and SAMP should be installed on Linux on System Z. But again, they also need a GDPS. And they would also need the standard component. So if we look at each of these components, you see that the table's broken down with one row showing compensation for Tivoli sales reps and another row showing compensation for ZSSR reps. And then the columns show the part numbers for the license plus maintenance, maintenance renewal, and maintenance reinstatement. And on slide 16, we have the start of our pricing workflow. This pricing workflow is illustrated and gone through in much detail in the pricing guide that I showed a link to on slide 3. So to go through this pricing workflow for SAMP, this is the first of two slides on it. The first decision we have to make here is what sales team should be compensated, either ZSSRs or Tivoli reps. And depending on each of those, depending on which one needs to be compensated, there is a part number for each of those. And so that's how you determine the part number. And then it is going to be priced on the processor value units of all of the nodes where SAMP will be installed. And let me take a second to define a node. A node is an instance of an operating system. So, of course, nowadays with virtualization going the way it is, you can have multiple operating system instances on one physical server. And there's software group guidelines as far as how to calculate or extract how much of a physical server's processor power is mapped to a node running there. But basically, you count up all the nodes that system automation for multi-platform will be installed on, and then you calculate the sum of the processor value units of all of those nodes. That's what you'll need to purchase. And then slide 17 walks us through the XDR for Linux on System Z component. So the first decision is do we need this XDR for Linux on System Z component? If not, if the answer is no, then we're finished. We're done. If the answer is yes, then the way it is priced out is based on the processor value units of the managed cluster environment. Now, it's a little bit complicated here, and again, it's outlined in much more detail in that pricing guide that I mentioned that's on slide 3. But it is possible in some situations for only one instance of system automation multi-platform to be installed on a Linux on System Z setup where this XDR feature is being used, and that XDR feature is used by all of the Linuxes in that ZVM environment. So the thing to take away from this is that you're licensing on the sum of the PBUs that are getting value from this XDR feature. So it may not necessarily map to the same number of processor value units that were calculated on the previous slide, which is the number of processor value units where SAMP will be installed. But again, there's two part numbers depending on which sales team should be compensated. But if you're not sure if you need this XDR component, again, there's two prereqs. One is that SAMP must be installed on Linux on System Z, and the other is that the customer needs to have or plan to have GDPS, because without GDPS, this feature has no value. And now we can move to slide 19 and talk about the System Automation Application Manager product. Now, the System Automation Application Manager consists of a server and then software adapters that are installed in the different clusters that the application manager server is connecting to. And again, the application manager, system automation application manager, it allows enterprise-wide automation. So you remember that system automation multi-platform is high availability clustering. So system automation application manager is not necessarily high availability clustering. It does not make your system more or less highly available. Instead, the system automation application manager is all about enterprise automation and control of all of these different clustered environments that you may have. Continuing on to slide 20. Here on slide 20, we see basically a platform coverage of the System Automation Application Manager. And again, the System Automation Application Manager has two main parts, if you want to think of it that way. The first is the server. And so the server itself, the SAAM server, can run on Linux, Windows, AIX, or now ZOS. And then, in addition, SAAM has adapters, which are pieces of software that run in different clustering technologies you see below. So the question of platform coverage is twofold. And when it comes to adapters, we have adapters that connect to SAMP, our own SAMP product, on all of the platforms that SAMP runs on. But then also we have adapters to System Automation, ZOS, HACMP, Microsoft Cluster Server, and then Veritas Cluster Server when Veritas Cluster Server is running on Sun Solaris. And slide 21 shows a little bit more information about the SAAM product. New in our most recent release, we now have a policy GUI editor that we see a screenshot here on slide 21. Slide 22 shows an example of a report that System Automation Application Manager can now generate. There's four reports that it can generate. This one is the Availability Overview Report, and basically it's able to look at all of the clusters that it's connecting to, all of the clustered environments, and generate a report for you. You can define the time interval and the scope, but it'll show you uptime versus downtime, and then break down the downtime between planned, unplanned, and startup time. And then you can click, and the animation will go, and you can see that in addition, this report shows you some other very interesting information, such as your average mean time to repair, your average mean time between failure, and then shows you a table there at the bottom of the different incidents or outages that have occurred. And then you can click again and see that we give you that same information graph format. And then slide 23 talks about the optional distributed disaster recovery, or DDR, component that SAAM has. So System Automation Application Manager, again, it has this optional feature for distributed disaster recovery, which, again, integrates with GDPS. So the customer must have GDPS for this DDR feature to make any sense. And this outlines kind of the scopes about what it's doing. So this GDPS integration allows GDPS to notify System Automation Application Manager, and then vice versa, SAAM can notify GDPS about serious application outages that have been that have occurred. And this allows you to have a disaster recovery solution that not only covers System Z, as the case with GDPS, but it also can cover all of your distributed clusters as well, outside of the System Z scope. Slide 24 shows a summary of the overview of System Automation Application Manager. Again, it's a single point of control and management for all of your clusters enterprise-wide. It allows you to coordinate or direct the starting and stopping of applications that span all of these different platforms and environments. Now, the clusters can be different instances, or they can be just different clusters altogether. So, for example, SAAM is commonly used between Linux on System Z and SAZOS, but SAAM has plenty of value if it's just connecting together 10, 20, or 30 different instances of HACMP. And then the following four bullets show some of the new features that came out in version 3.1 of SAAM. And now we can go to slide 26 and talk about the pricing. So SAAM is a little bit more complicated to price. All of the adapters for SAAM are available on PPA. There is one exception to that, and that is if you want the SAAM server to run on the ZOS operating system, that is available only from ESW. That is optional. So in most cases, you'll be able to order everything you need for SAAM off of PPA. The only case where you would have to go to ESW, again, the only case is if you want the server, not the adapter, just the server of SAAM to run on the ZOS operating system. The next bullet there, again, there's two sets of part numbers, just like we talked about for multi-platform. One set of part numbers that compensates Tivoli sales, another that compensates Z software sales reps. The SAAM adapter is priced per PBU. And then the SAAM server is, we have two cases for that. Either the server is going to be running on a distributed platform. So examples of distributed platforms would be Linux, including Linux on System Z, AIX, Windows. If the server is going to run one of those environments, then it's actually free. And the server is actually included on the media that you get with all adapter purchases. So, you know, one example of that, let's say you you want SAAM to connect to, or you want SAAM, the server, to run on Linux on System Z, which is, in our case, a distributed platform, and you want it to connect to System Automation ZOS. Well, all adapters, including the adapter to connect to System Automation ZOS, is available, are on PPA. So you go to PPA, you buy that part number, and then when you get the CD media, it actually includes the SAAM server for all of the distributed platforms. Now, if you want the server to run on the ZOS operating system, then you again will need to go to ESW, and that is going to be priced on MSUs. And then the last bullet here is the SAAM DDR feature. Again, it's an optional feature, is priced the same as the adapters, which is it's priced per PBU. And then we can turn to slide 27. Slide 27 shows us a breakdown of the System Automation Application Manager products, or part numbers rather. You know, there's the DSW PID and the ESW PID. And this here is showing us detail on just the DSW or PPA part. So we have the standard component, which basically are the adapters, right? Because in the normal sense, you're only paying for the what SAAM is connecting to, the adapters, in other words. The only case where you pay for the server is if you want the server to run on ZOS, and you do that via ESW. But you'd still go back and buy the adapters from PPA. So there's two sets of adapters here. There is the SAAM adapter to SAZOS, and then there's the SAAM adapter to everything else. So the first one we see there is the SAAM adapter to distributed or Linux on System Z clusters, basically everything except SAZOS. And again, there's two rows in that table, one for compensating Tivoli sales reps, the other compensating ZSSRs. And then there's the other adapter there, which is the adapter to System Automation ZOS. One row compensating Tivoli, the other compensating ZSSRs. All of these part numbers are licensed per processor value unit. And then the second bullet there is the other component that we talked about, which is the distributed disaster recovery component. It is an optional component again. There again are two rows in the table, one compensating Tivoli, the other row compensates ZSSRs. And again, it's based, it's licensed off of based on processor value units. So now let's turn our attention to slide 28, and we have the workflow for pricing the SA Application Manager product. So the first question we need to answer is where will the SAAM server run? And there are two cases. Either it will run on a distributed operating system, basically Linux, AIX, Windows, and remember that includes Linux on System Z. And then the other case is that the server will run on ZOS. Now, again, if the server is going to run on a distributed operating system, again, including Linux on System Z, you don't have to purchase anything in this part, in this first step of the workflow. Again, the server for distributed operating systems is free. It's included with the purchase of any and all of the adapters that we will go through in the second part of this workflow. If you if the server is needed to be on ZOS, then you see there you'll need to order that from ESW, and there's the PID there. And the SAIM server on ZOS is priced based on MSUs. So once we've made that determination, we now go on to slide 29. So slide 29, basically what we're going to do is we're going to identify each of the clusters or platforms that SAIM will need to connect to. We're going to iterate through each one of those. So for each cluster that we need to connect to, we're going to ask ourselves, what is the environment that SAIM will be managing? Either on the left, it'll be connecting to and managing SA for ZOS, or in the middle, it will be managing a non-Tivoli distributed cluster platform, i.e. HACMP, Microsoft Cluster Server, Veritas Cluster Server, or on the right, it's system automation for multi-platforms. Now let's start with system automation for ZOS. So if we want to manage SAZOS, we note that the adapter is actually packaged with system automation for ZOS. So the actual code that they'll run, they'll already have if they have SAZOS installed. All they need is a license to activate that part of the code. So then the next step is fairly simple. We ask ourselves again which sales team should be compensated, either CSSRs or Tivoli reps, and we have a part number for each of those. And it's priced on processor value units of the System Z cores. So that is a change from pricing in system automation multi-platform end-to-end. It used to be based off value units, which were determined by MSUs on the VUE020 table. Now in System Automation Application Manager, it is processor value unit based on the value of System Z cores. So the other options we have is if we will be connecting to and managing either SA multi-platform or one of the third-party non-Tivoli cluster platforms. Now, in both cases, we end up in the same place. However, there's two different notes there. The adapter for SA multi-platform is actually packaged with SAMP, but you still need the license. The adapter for all of the third-party clustering solutions, HACMP, Microsoft Cluster Server, Veritas Cluster Server, those adapters are packaged with the SAAM standard component, so you'll get those on the media. Now, in both cases, they both converge to the same point. Again, we ask ourselves, which sales team should be compensated, either ZSSRs or Tivoli reps? And again, there are part numbers for each of those. And in this case, we price based on processor value units of all the nodes in the managed cluster. So, I walk through in great detail in the pricing guide that a link was given to back on slide 3. But it's important to remember that you will basically calculate the total processor value units of all of the nodes in the cluster that we're connecting to. The adapter is a piece of software that will only be running on one node in the cluster. However, the license needs to be for all nodes in that cluster. And once we've finished this part and we've iterated through each of our clusters, we now go to step 3. So on slide 30, we start the third part of the workflow. And here we deal with the optional distributed disaster recovery component. So again, there's three cases for this. Either we need it, we don't need it, or we're not sure. If we don't need it, we're done. We're finished. If we're not sure if we need it, then the main question is does the customer have or plan to have GDPS? If they don't have it, then we're finished. Again, the distributed disaster recovery component, as it is today in this version, requires GDPS. If the customer does have GDPS, then this component may be applicable, and you should do a little more research or get in contact with myself or development to help you determine if this component is needed. Now, if we do need the disaster recovery component, we note that this is priced the exact same way as the adapters were. The distributed disaster recovery component is only applicable to distributed clusters. So basically what we would do is we would take a look at which clusters need this feature, because it does not have to be all of them. And we would look at the number of processor value units that we calculated in the last step for those distributed clusters, and we would use that same number of processor value units here. And again, there's a choice on which sales team should be compensated, either ZSSRs or distributed reps. And once we've done that, we are finished with Pricing System Automation Application Manager. And we can turn to slide 31, and now I would like to open for any questions that anyone might have.
Thank you. Today's question and answer session will be conducted electronically. If you would like to ask a question, you may do so by pressing the star key followed by the digit 1 on your touchtone telephone. If you're using a speakerphone, please make sure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Once again, that's star 1 if you have a question, and we'll pause for a moment. As a reminder, that is star 1 if you have a question. We have a question from Paul Hall.
Hi, Creighton.
Hello.
Quick question for you. On the Zeta West side, stuff available for subcapacity pricing for the automation manager and the agent?
Unfortunately, we are not allowed to have any subcapacity part numbers. So the answer is no.
Okay.
However, one key note on that subject, several of our competitors either use different metrics to price their products, or they do have subcapacity part numbers. So if there is a case where we're up against competition that does take that into account, product management and pricing is fully supportive of special bids to bring us down to the point where, you know, it, as if we would have had subcapacity.
Great, understand. That's great, thanks.
Mm-hmm.
And as a final reminder, that is star 1 if you have a question. And Mr. Hicks, there are no further questions. I'll turn the conference over to you for any additional closing remarks.
Great, thank you very much. So slide 32, the last slide in the presentation, you know, shows some key contacts there. We have Butch Rambisch in product management, Craig Dawson, who is our pricer, and Joachim Schmalzried, who's, of course, our technical sales enablement person. Their emails are all listed there. Also on the slide, you'll see, in my opinion, a very important link, which is a link to the System Automation Wiki webpage. That wiki has lots of information on both sales and technical points of views of the distributed system automation products. That's SA Multiplatform, SA AM, and Business Continuity Process Manager. And also on that website, you'll find the pricing guide and a detailed workflow or walkthrough of the workflows of pricings that we covered today in the call. So I would urge each of you to check out the that link there. But thank you very much for joining the call. That concludes our call today.
Thank you. That does conclude today's conference call. We thank you for your participation, and have a nice day.